WildTalkRadio.com. Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
This is huge.
That's what she said.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go
home. No, I need two men on this. That's what she said. No time. But she did. No time. Guys, get on this.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Future, if I want to say something funny or witty or do an impression, I will no longer ever do any of those things.
Does that include that's what she said?
Yes.
Wow, that is really hard.
You really think you can go all day long?
Well, you always left me satisfied.
That's what she said!
The Omega.
No, comedy is a place where the mind goes to tickle itself. That's what she said.
Heartbreak Mike.
Listen to me, Mike. You gotta do something about that.
You don't get it.
You need to get back on top. That's what she said.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Sold for $300 to me.
How's that?
It's the only gavel I could find.
It squeaks in the bank. That's what she said.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
One more bite of eclair each. Hold it in your mouth if you can't swallow.
Really? Nothing.
WTR Sunday night.
I can't believe you came. That's what you said.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm doing the intro because the end-all, be-all Omega is not here. Heartbreak Mike is not here. The intern is.
I've been called up!
2 days in a row.
Enhancement talent, enhancement talent.
No. Normally I'm called up for the NXT show, occasionally brought on for things like the Rumble, but no, I have gotten the call up.
For Extreme Rules.
Oh, God. Can I go back down now?
And leading the pack.
That's what she said.
And leading the pack, as always. He actually made a joke that's funny. The one and only Tim Stein.
I was just keeping to the theme. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to, you're having a hard time saying Extreme Rules. Pay-per-view edition of WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So that was a thing, and it happened, and that took place.
There were matches.
Stuff happened.
And the crowd ruined some stuff, and they made other stuff kind of funny, and they did things.
I did not know that tonight was the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Three, two, one.
It was the Royal Rumble all night long.
We had the greatest Royal Rumble months ago. Now we have the shortest Rumble. I don't know. But there are big stories that came out today that we need to address before we even get into it.
Oh, yeah, brother.
First off, big exciting news. A former WCW champion has returned.
Yeah, dude.
That is right. David Arquette has returned to professional wrestling, making his debut for championship wrestling from Hollywood. He lost his first matchup back. But yes, David Arquette, back in pro wrestling.
I think you're smoking drugs, and if not, maybe you should start because bullshit!
I watched him do a diamond cutter.
I don't want to be part of this world anymore.
No, brother. It's a different WWE superstar, brother.
And then casually backstage to start off the show, Charlie Caruso mentions that Hulk Hogan has been reinstated into the WWE Hall of Fame and was backstage at the show.
Brother.
Anyone have an opinion?
Booker T is coming for you. No, too soon.
Don't finish that. Booker T hung up on JJ Sexay when he actually played that clip when we had our interview in Booker T. And I just wish I had that clip of him hanging up on us, because that was priceless. And it wasn't my fault. For a change. Something happened that wasn't my fault.
There are a lot of people who are against Hulk Hogan being back with WWE. I don't think anyone will notice he is a part of WWE anymore. You won't see him on TV often. If you do, it'll be a rare appearance. And it shouldn't really affect whether you watch the WWE product or not.
No, but shitty pay-per-views might.
That's a different story.
Yeah. Well, that's different.
So, Extreme Rules happened. We had two matches on the pre-show. Sin Cara took on Andrade Cien Almas. It was an Andrade Cien Almas showcase.
It was a match.
It was a match. Zelina Vega had a distraction for the and allowed Andrade to get the win. Sin Cara needs to stop doing the Hurricane Rana to the outside because it looks like he kills himself anytime he does it. It was basically a rematch from SmackDown. It was basically a little bit of the same matchup. And, yeah, I felt bad for the people in the building because you knew everyone wasn't in there. Wouldn't know why, because if you looked when you were watching the match and you saw about five rows back, there were nobody in their seats, that would be why.
Why do you do multiple pre-show matches when you know the first one is not going to have anyone there?
That's a very good question.
What was the one that was a couple of months ago where you had Hardy versus the club, you know, versus the bar, and just no one was there? I mean, not even the concession people were set up yet.
I mean, you get it for WrestleMania, but this is Extreme Rules. I mean,
right? It's like Mania. You get the three matches before, but by that point, you have let people in. There's at least, you know, people watching. It's not, you know, the stage crew's parents who are just, you know, happening to file out from the audio check before people show up. It just looks so bad to have that happen.
They really didn't need to do this matchup on the pre-show. It could have been saved for SmackDown as a rematch.
Yeah.
But now we get Extreme Tables match. New Day versus Sanity. The one highlight was the Tower of Doom, Brent?
Yeah, the Tower of Doom was pretty freaking cool, but before that, I'm still trying to recover from the entrance of Sanity.
Oh, God, their entrance.
Like, in NXT, they had a little bit of kind of the camera zoom and kind of the pan to the crowd and some other stuff, but at least when they did it in NXT, it worked fine enough. When they do it on the main roster, it just incites, you know, flashbacks from Cloverfield and, you know, gives you motion sickness.
It really does give you motion sickness. Like, down in NXT, the build, I think they turn the lights down even more than they do for here. It's like, this just, I can't even watch your entrance anymore.
No, it was just bad. But yeah, the table of spot, or the Tower of Doom spot was fantastic. It looked like it was going to go absolutely horribly for Kofi there for a second. Sanity gets taken out, and then all of a sudden, Kofi puts a double stomp on them that just looked beautiful.
It was great. Killian Dane flew through the ropes, because big man flies. And you notice they've shaved him down.
Yeah, and they put him in a shirt.
They put him in a shirt, too, just to hide everything.
Yeah.
Razor burn. They're hiding Razor Burn.
They're hiding Razor Burn. Because Razor Burn will show up really well in high-quality HD. Alexander Wolf was, like, holding Kofi outward on the apron, and then Eric Young came off the top rope or middle rope with an elbow, and he drove him through a table. It felt very anticlimactic, but it was creative, too, at the same time.
I was going to say, it was a different take on a table spot to finish the match, because usually you see the table set, and of course that table was there from the very beginning of the match. It was, you knew which one they were going to go through.
Yeah.
But it was to that point where you kind of figured, you know, early on they hinted at something like, oh, is it going to be the Big E spear through the ropes that put someone through it? And it got down to the point where Kofi was battling Alexander. Alexander had his arm, so Kofi, you know, was basically leaning back. And yeah, then out of nowhere, Eric Young comes through with the elbow. I understand it felt a little anticlimactic because you wanted it like a more impactful move, but all in all, I thought it was actually a creative way to finish that match.
It was creative, but I think why it felt anticlimactic, it didn't make the big splash like it should have, you know, because they were trying to be really safe with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you didn't hear, like, the big crack of the table as you normally would. It was like, oh, he went through. You heard a little crack, but it was like, they were trying to be really safe. But but on something creative like that, you have to be a little safe. But Sanity gets their first win on the main roster. It's about time.
Yay.
Now we move to the main show. The Raw Tag Team titles are on the line. The Deleters of Worlds take on the B-Team. We had an early tease of Bray versus Bo, and the crowd was ready for it. They were about to explode when if it happened, and Bo was like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to be a thing. I'm not going to fight my brother. Nope, not going to happen.
Goddamn trolls.
We had a Let's Go B-Team, B-Team Sucks chant, which was really loud, so they got into it. The crowd was into it a little bit. They were into Matt Hardy. They were into Bray Wyatt. They beat down Matt Hardy for a majority of the matchup. Matt made the hot tag. Bray went crazy on his brother. And then Matt gets tagged back in. Somehow Matt and Bray collide on the apron. Matt gets hooked up for the twisting neckbreaker, hangman neckbreaker. And your new Raw Tag Team Champions, the B-Team.
What the hell?
It made perfect sense.
Oh, no, it makes absolute perfect sense. They're the hot team, the crowd's behind them, the celebration after the match alone was worth it, but it's still, what the hell?
What was the line? Something like, how did Stretch Armstrong feel when he landed on the moon?
The post-match interview!
From Curtis, how did Stretch Armstrong feel when he landed on the moon? It was the quote from Curtis Axel. Stretch Armstrong? Really?
Oh my god.
I mean, I'm a Stretch Armstrong fan, but yeah.
Oh, Curtis, you special, special little snowflake, you.
I had a Stretch Armstrong when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah, and then can we also talk about how the fact that Bray Wyatt needed a cigarette after that match?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was being bright as brightness. We also learned the B in the B team now stands for the best.
Best.
Backstage, Kurt Angle says if Brock Lesnar basically doesn't agree to his next fight, show up on Raw, he will strip him of the Universal Championship. So, okay, here's a question. So, if he doesn't show up on Raw, that's one thing. But he has to agree to a fight. So what if he says, oh yeah, I'll defend my title at WrestleMania 35? Is that okay? Will that please Kurt Angle?
According to the letter of the law that he stated, yes.
So it's like, I don't think he should have said that. I think the ultimatum should have been, you need to show up on Raw or you'll be stripped of the title, and then you can get away with it with Paul Heyman just showing up and agreeing to the fight. But I don't think you need it. If he doesn't agree to a fight, it's like, he can agree to fight 4 years from now and defend the title. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway.
Rock, a lot of tonight did not make sense.
This is a fact.
There is a lot of things, especially in the final match, that I have a lot of logical problems
Logical problems with a lot of this. Up next, Finn Balor, Constable Baron Corbin. This was all about Baron Corbin dominating and Finn Balor somehow pulling out a small package and beating Constable Baron Corbin.
With a small package. That's what she said.
Thank you, Tim.
Number two.
I mean, this was fine. Corbin was all right. Finn was Finn.
Corbin was Corbin.
Finn pulled a decent match out of him.
Yeah, Finn's a good worker, so he can pull it out. But with Baron, you know he's going to hit those essential five moves throughout the match. He's going to hit the throw into the corner, slide out, run back in and clothesline. He's going to, you know, hit a couple of things. He'll hit the deep six, which the announcers will hail as the second coming of the tombstone, yet for the guy to kick out at two. See also the blue thunder bomb.
Or the Superman punch, or the five knuckle shuffle, or any signature maneuver.
Any of the above.
Yep.
But the one thing I did like about this match was they kept teasing the coup de grace, but Corbin always kind of found a way to interrupt it.
Yeah.
And then it came down to, as you said, Finn pulling out the small package to win.
I really get annoyed. He's in the drop zone. He's in Finn Balor's drop zone. Like, can we stop with the drop zone? Like, seriously.
Would you prefer the splash zone?
I would prefer no zone. Just let him go to the top rope.
Yeah, fair enough.
You don't need to say, oh my god, he's in the drop zone. He could hit it from anywhere in the, you know, he can fly across the ring and hit that move. He doesn't have to be right up by the corner to be in the drop zone. Finn Balor can fly. We've seen it before.
But Rock, that quote is vintage.
Backstage, the Bludgeon Brothers attack Team Hell No.
Shame on them.
They threw Daniel Bryan around. They had Kane's leg wedged in a door. They used one of their hammers to smash Kane's left leg. So is Kane out of the match? We'll find out in a bit. But now, Tim, SmackDown Women's Championship. James Ellsworth is in a shark cage as Carmella battles Asuka.
Never really liked the shark cage gimmick because, you know, at some point in time, some shit's going to go down
and
the person in the cage.
And we all noticed the cage was very low.
Yeah, what exactly did you say to me, Rock? That cage is kind of low. What did I say? Well, of course it is. They've got some shit planned.
But, man, it was so obviously low.
It was 4 feet off the mat, essentially. Hyperbole, but still.
Yeah, I know. But still, it was really low. Like, they were trying to make it like it seemed like it was high, but it's like, this is really low.
Well, the last time they did the shark cage, it was with Enzo. And I wanted to say, with the height that they put it up there, I remember they did the spot of him, like, oiling himself up, going all Joey Ryan, and then basically falling to the mat. And I remember originally looking from that height going, oh, God, he's going to kill himself. This was the opposite.
Yeah, he used Enzo used, his clothes to climb down a little bit and then fall.
Yeah, I think he used, like, his pants to help him get that extra cup, like, 2 or 3 feet.
Mm-hmm. So, this was not about Carmella and Asuka. Like, they wrestled a little, but it really wasn't the point of the match.
Oh, God, yeah. Before we continue and explain what this whole booking is about, can we just talk about all the bullshit on Twitter about this match?
Go ahead.
Oh, well, join me. It was absolutely ridiculous. Oh, this match is absolute shit, blah, 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 blah. It's just people are dissing on Carmella versus Asuka. And I'm like, dude, you guys are freaking dolls. Especially that guy, what's his name? I gave you the, I sent you the link first week.
I'm not going to give the person's name out.
Yeah, don't give his name up because this is a terrible word to use, but you know what? Words only have power over you if you let them. Change the meaning of the word, from what it used to mean to something new. The guy's a fucking retard.
I would have just said moron, but it's okay.
Moron is... You see, moron is a word that used to be a clinical description, just like retard. Change it, and then it doesn't mean what you're accusing it of meaning by not using it. When you don't use the word because it's, don't use that word, that's really true. You're giving the word power. Don't give it power. Change it. But people bitching and crying and complaining like crazy over all over social media tonight, Rock, about this match.
And I get it, but they're not seeing what the match is really about. You have Carmella in there. She's the entertaining character. Is she the best wrestler in the world? No.
Oh, hell no.
But she's leaps and bounds better than she was. She's improving every time out. But this wasn't about her. She's the slimy champion with a sidekick that helps her get wins. And that's what this was about. And it was about Asuka destroying James Ellsworth. Like she tried to do on SmackDown as well. So it's like, it's just continuation of that story rather than Asuka versus Carmella. Because you had him throw down a chain and hairspray, and then he was hanging on the cage like a pinata.
And her leg was the bat.
And she just kept kicking him and kicking him and kicking him repeatedly. She knocked down some security. I mean, this allowed Carmella to come in, push Asuka into the shark cage and get the win. Then Asuka beat up James Ellsworth after the match, and that was fine, but again, don't look at the match as Carmella and Asuka. It was Asuka versus Ellsworth. That's the story.
Asuka versus Ellsworth and the techs, don't forget. She beat up the guys that helped set up the cage, except for the one guy who was actually smart, saw the crazed look in her eye, and said, peace out.
Peace out, yeah.
Unfortunately, though, this does mean that there will be a third match between them, correct?
But why? Explain to me why there needs to be a third.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that there needs to be. I'm saying there probably will be. And the only reason for that is, so you had the first match where Ellsworth stuck his nose in, Carmella hit the kick, pin, 1, 2, 3, win. Now you had the stipulation of the shark cage. This should prevent Wormy Guy from interfering. Lo and behold, of course, in WWE fashion, never stops people from interfering.
Never. Never does. Never will.
Nope. So then Ellsworth interferes, gets hit around like a pinata on Cinco de Mayo, and Carmella takes advantage, knock into the cage, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
This does set up something eventually where I don't know if it's I talked about it with you during the thing. I don't know if this is going to be Ellsworth is just barred from, I don't know, arena, state, country, whatever they want to try and do. Of course he'll show up, but I don't know if it's something like that or what kind of thing they'll do. But the way that this is just set up, it seems like they'll do a third match, and either that's where Asuka will get over or it will be the blow off and then she can finally move on to someone else.
Tim, does there need to be a third match? Good answer. Good answer.
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Yes and no. There doesn't really need to be a third match, but these two at the same time need to have an actual one-on-one for that title, and just have an actual winner without interference determined.
So do you do a cage match for this final match between the two?
I knew you'd pull that one up. thanks a lot. I asked you that, and you're like, oh, hell, I hope not. And, yeah, I can see it being a cage match. At the same time, it's the same answer that you gave me. I hope not.
What do you do then?
Good question. Brent?
Submission. Both of them have a submission finisher in a sense. I mean, I know Carmella's been using the super kick essentially to finish people off recently, but at least that way, even if there is interference, it takes someone tapping or saying I quit or something where you get a definitive winner between the two. It's not just, oh, hey, he interferes, cheap roll up or something along those lines.
Yeah, a submission match would be better than a cage match. What about like a false count anywhere? Make them have a street fight, something like that.
Yeah, that could work too.
But you bar Ellsworth from the building. I don't like
that. Yeah, I get. The funny thing is when you get into one of those where it's like, we're going to make sure there's no rules except this one rule that he cannot be in the building. It kind of defeats that purpose.
It kind of does, but you got to figure something out, right?
Right. I mean, I understand working that step in of, okay, he's been a thorn in our side. We have to find a way to get him out of there. But yeah, doing like Chicago Street Fight or Extreme Rules or, you know, Brooklyn Backyard Brawl, but Ellsworth is not allowed anywhere near it. It defeats the purpose of having the no rules.
Do something a little bit different. Before Asuka, who was Ellsworth being the biggest thorn in the side of?
Becky.
Is there any possible way you could bring Becky out as like one with Asuka? For Becky to be at Asuka's side?
I mean, you could. I mean, you could do anything.
You'd have to find a compelling reason to pair her with Asuka. I know that there is history between her and Ellsworth, but...
See, well, that's simple, Brent. You just set it up on Tuesday where Ellsworth tries to get revenge for the beatdown he got to make himself look like Asuka's bitch tonight. And Becky comes out to the rescue. Simple. There you go. That's how easy it is to team those two up.
Hold on. Have the match on a floating barge in the middle of the ocean.
Okay, whose idea was that?
You're 26738 in the chat room.
Rock, that's WCW.
I know that is WCW. I'm just giving an answer from the chat, that's all.
That's WCW doing Memphis. What are you kidding?
Put him on the back of a flatbed truck and have it drive down the road.
Oh, God, I remember that pay-per-view. Uncensored.
Dustin Rhodes versus Bunkhouse Buck.
Uncensored, what, 95, 96, something like that? 95, I think it was. Or 94, I don't know, whatever it was. It's a long time ago.
It was special.
It was special. Speaking of, your United States Championship was on the line.
Oh, God.
Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay, I'm just going to say this was brilliant.
Oh, it was great booking for many reasons. So,
people bitching about this one, too. And today's wrestling fan just doesn't understand smart booking. They're so used to, and I hate to say, well, you know, it's millennials, and they're just a bunch of fucking retards, doorknobs, idiots, whatever. It's just in today's day and age with the internet, social media, instant gratification, I want what I want or you suck type of mentality. People with that mindset don't work as wrestling fans because they don't get it.
Now, number one, Jeff Hardy said in an interview a few days ago that he's hurt. He's hurting. He has back injury. Like, his back is really bothering. He stopped doing the Swanton on house shows because his back is bothering him. So the best way to alleviate some of the pressure of that, being a champion on a house show match,
is paint your face.
You take the championship off of him so he doesn't have to defend it on a thing. You can do quick matches on house shows, etc., etc. Low blow before the bell. Jeff says, I can do it, I can do it. Kinshasa, 1, 2, 3. Shinsuke Nakamura is your new United States champion.
I hear voices in my head.
He has returned. The Viper.
The Viper, Randy Orton.
Has returned, and he comes to the ring. Shinsuke's like, oh no, what's going on? He bails out. And then Randy
gets shit, no speak of English.
Then Randy, out of flinch forms, Randy looks around, grabs Jeff Hardy, spins him around so he gets facing the hard camera, and stomps him in the nuts. That was a little awkward, him spinning him around so it's facing the camera.
Yeah. Can we just talk about that SummerSlam 2018 is now going to be sponsored by Dick's Sporting Goods?
Someone in our Twitch chat goes, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Randy Orton, testicles versus testicles match.
Great balls of fire.
Jesus.
Randy's back.
I got nothing.
Randy's back and is a heel now, so that's something.
Yeah, I mean, Randy works better as a heel. I think he always feels more comfortable as that, so yay for that. Shinsuke, I love the look, though, of Shinsuke the entire time that Randy was out there and after he hit him in the balls, because Shinsuke just couldn't process what was going on and was also, it looked a little offended, like, you're stealing my spotlight.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But
I mean, this did what it was supposed to. Shinsuke's coming off of the dog bite. Jeff's banged up to hell. Randy gets to come back. It did what it was supposed to. I don't know. It just felt like there was a better use of 5 minutes, in a sense.
When you say that, you mean they could have found better use for that 5 minutes? Is that what you meant?
Yeah. I mean, I understand doing this angle on the pay-per-view because you're going to get most of the attention for it. But it just felt like between the Asuka match, which was, what, 5-7 minutes at most?
Mm-hmm. A lot of matches were like 8 minutes at most.
Yeah, this was one of those where before the pay-per-view I counted up and it was like 12 matches. And I don't know, it felt like back in the old days when they had those really quick matches. And this night just felt lacking in a sense.
You mean Attitude Era?
I'm talking like 80s. When you used to have a lot of the pay-per-views with these 8-minute, you know, Coco Beware versus Jobber on a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. 5 minute, not 8 minute.
Okay, 5 minute matches. But I mean, they did serve a purpose tonight. It's just, I don't know, the whole night, like I said, is just, it left me puzzled in certain instances.
Now I know a match Tim enjoyed. It was the steel cage match.
Well, how could you not enjoy that? That was fun!
Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman. Go to him. Talk about it.
They did a hell of a job making Kevin Owens look credible in this match. And at one point, after he had literally kicked the tar out of Braun, it was at that point, it wouldn't matter how he lost tonight, he got elevated. Kudos to Braun for helping Kevin go over, even in the loss. Holy shit, the end of the match, though. I really feel bad for Par KO taking that bump. But it was brilliant pulling out the handcuffs and cuffing Braun near the end of the match, cuffing him to the ring post.
This was after Kevin Owens had a stunner.
Yeah, he pulled out the Stone Cold Stunner.
Stone Cold Stunner out of nowhere. Braun got handcuffed. Owens was like, suck it, and he left.
Yeah, he actually did the thing.
Yeah, the suck it taunt, and he did the CM Punk kiss goodbye thing. And
I was going to not bring that up because, you know, WWE doesn't want any mention of CM Punk on their shows.
Except they had Bruce Pritchard and whatever his name is do a whole podcast about CM Punk on their network about 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Just,
I mean, no mention of, but here's an hour and 20 minutes of CM Punk talk.
It's funny.
But, yeah.
No, this entire match, definitely my favorite match of the night. This was definitely, in my opinion, you know, ranking right up there with the best match.
So the finish was Braun Strowman quickly, I mean, quickly got to the top of the cage. He's impressively fast for a guy his size. He's very nimble. He got up to the top of the cage. He's looking down, and he chokeslams Kevin Owens off the top of the cage and through the announce table.
And Kevin Owens actually records the win over Braun Strowman.
He lucks into the win. As Braun said on Twitter, who
Whoa. Getting thrown off the top of the cage into the German announce table and bouncing your head off the German announce table. I don't know how you say that's lucking in. Just saying.
My God, Kevin Owens has a family.
That, I don't know. Did you catch the slow-mo replay on that one, Brent?
Which time? The 20 times they showed it after the fact? Yeah.
In, like, the super slow-mo, were you watching his head bounce off the table?
Oh, yeah. Well, on the one where you could actually see it with Michael Cole not in shot, yeah. You could actually see him hit that table. And it reminded me a lot of that when Shane went off this or jumped off the cell and went through the table, where I understand that there's stuff to help protect it, but by God, do you still look at him and go, yeah, he's going to be sore tomorrow.
Yeah, in this instance, there was nothing protecting him. Those tables, okay, I get it. They're put together in a gimmicked way so that they break apart when you land on them.
And there's a pad on it, but it doesn't do a whole lot.
No. This table didn't exactly break apart. I mean, they used it like two other bumps. The exact same table. I mean, like, that table is going to wake up tomorrow sore.
So, now we need to talk about the biggest thing that came out of this matchup. Other than Kevin Owens getting over and getting the win, it had a weird consequence. A few weeks ago, Kevin Owens regained his Twitter after, you know, the whole thing about leaving and everything like that. And his one goal was to go to the Shania Twain concert. And he went there a couple weeks ago. But he wanted her to sing his favorite song. But it's not in her rotation, so she couldn't do it. She mentioned during the concert to him, well, if you beat Braun Strowman, then I'll sing the song for you the next time.
He technically beat Braun Strowman.
He beat Braun Strowman.
No. There was no technically about it. His feet hit the ground first, so he did win. No technically.
So yeah, but Braun also beat Kevin in every other sense of the word.
It doesn't matter. Shania Twain now needs to sing the song for Kevin Owens.
What is the song?
Oh, hold on.
Let
me look up his Twitter. But yeah, that he only got his Twitter back verified just for that. And he took it off back to, it's already back to darkness. He already deleted everything. So I can't tell you.
Brock. What? So how many weeks are there until SummerSlam?
5?
If you're looking for like a 4 or 5 minute, you know, time killer on Raw, you could always bring in Shania as part of this.
You could.
I know they're not going to, but that would just be an extra little, like, cherry on the top. Or just
picture, there are already too many Canadians on Raw.
Or just picture, like, she's about to sing, Kevin is sitting there, like, in a wheelchair with a neck brace on, and then you hear the roar.
Roar!
That would just be priceless.
You'd see a Canadian woman pissing her pants.
Oh, no, she'd be in on it, would be the best part.
Oh, like, you're using her as a plant, okay.
Well, I was going to say, her whole thing is just like, oh, yeah, I, you know.
By the way, here's my backup singer.
Exactly, like, wait, let me get my band and have that, and you just see the look on Kevin Owens' face like, oh, God.
The song is When.
Oh, my God.
Was the name of the song. So, next time he goes to a concert, you know, that'll be a thing.
No. It's going to be a long time before he goes to any concerts.
Possibly. We'll have to see. Anyway, moving on. By the way, this is WTR Sinai streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. As we're reviewing Extreme Rules 2018, it is time for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. The Bludgeon Brothers versus Team Hell No.
Oh, wait a minute. There's only one of them.
Yeah.
Yes, Kane is not here. As he was injured.
Walking boot.
We'll get to that. Brian held his own for a while. Brian went for a dive on the outside, got caught by Eric Rowan. Eric Rowan was holding him open. He gets out of the way as Harper dives through and hits Rowan. This allows the big red machine to walk out in his walking boot. Slowly. Slowly. Hits some awkward choke slams because he can't plant with the walking boot. Goes for the tombstone, can't get him up. Daniel Bryan gets tagged back in, ends up getting caught in the powerbomb clothesline combo. The Bludgeon Brothers retain. It served its purpose.
It did what it needed to do. You can't take the titles off the Bludgeon Brothers right now.
No, and Kane.
Really, you can't.
You can't. Kane's opponent made a big fuss about Kane returning to wrestling, so maybe that's why they sort of told the story they told. I don't know. It was fine. You got the job done.
Yeah.
Team Hell No has been the highlight of SmackDown the last couple weeks.
The reunion tour.
The reunion tour. Their comedy has been gold, so.
It's been adorable.
But yeah. Who would have thought about 8 months ago we would have seen Team Hell No wrestle the Bludgeon Brothers on pay-per-view?
Who thought we would have seen Team Hell No in general 8 months ago?
Yeah. So, yeah. Anything you need to add to it? I'm pretty good.
Not about that.
Not about that?
Nope.
No, the next segment, though.
Where Bo Dallas offers Roman Reigns a chance to be a part of the B team.
Bo, you special little snowflake, you! You had Curtis on the outside, or you had Curtis in the interview, you have Bo in the backstage segment. They're still celebrating, and as our ever dutiful host of the Rack put in our chat at that time when they're celebrating, Bo, what the hell are you doing? Your brother's looking to kill you right now.
Oh God, he just tweeted that. Anyway,
who just tweeted what?
Seth Rollins just tweeted 10, 9, 8, 7.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Seth.
We will get to that in just a bit.
We'll get to that. We're getting there. So, in a shock of shocks, Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley was not the main event, even though at one point it was the main event.
Well, what, did WWE realize that it would be a really bad match to end the pay-per-view with? Not that, let me clarify, not bad match because these guys can't work, but a bad match to end the pay-per-view with because of the crowd.
Then what are you going to do at SummerSlam if you put Roman Reigns in that main event? Anyway, this was slow early. The crowd didn't care. They weren't as bad as previous months.
You know what? This was a perfectly fine match for what it was when what it was supposed to be and what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, it's two big guys beating the hell out of each other. That's what this match was supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you wanted. And last Monday night, I asked you, Rock, did this sell the match to people or did it feel forced? And you're like, well, for me, it felt forced. But for the casual fan, yeah, it would have sold it for him. Yeah, try to watch shit as get into the mindset of just a fan, not somebody who critiques WWE all the time, because that's what we do on these webcasts. We critique what they do in wrestling. We give our opinions and let you know if it's like Rotten Tomatoes fresh or not.
It was more to that. It was more, they keep relying on that pull apart brawl spot. Like, it's becoming a regular occurrence. Which is why I said, thought it felt forced. It's like we've seen it
before. Well, when was the last time they had a pull-apart brawl?
Three months ago.
That's not a regular occurrence. I mean, yeah, for us, because we're so intently watching it 12 months out of the year, that when we see three in a year, that's using it a lot. Yeah, okay, sure.
But you also had Ronda being pulled away by security after brawling with Alexa 3 weeks before that. So it's like you're relying on that big, energetic brawl type spot.
Yeah, that's a slightly different thing, but I get what you're saying. Yeah.
It was more they were forcing this to make it feel like a big deal when it should have just been average build to the match. It's like they went full force on it. It's like, I get it, but it's like, it didn't sell me.
Yeah.
That's all.
It will have sold a lot of other people, which is perfectly fine. That's what it's supposed to do, is sell the casual viewer.
Right, they already have my money.
Not the hardcore. The hardcore's going to tune in, no matter how much the hardcore complains and bitches and whines about Roman Reigns getting pushed or whatever. They're still going to tune in. Mm-hmm. Those aren't the people WWE have to worry about. And, you know, I'm referring to people like us. I'm really over people bitching about Roman Reigns. It's enough. Yeah, they've mishandled the shit out of him ever since the Royal Rumble that Daniel Bryan didn't win, and he did. But it's just, it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. The guy, you have to admit, he does go out there and he does work his ass off and he does everything he can to put on a good match. And half of his matches are spoiled by the fan reactions. And it's just at the point where it's pretty much driving me crazy anymore, man.
Yeah, it's hard to get into their matches. You just lose interest because of the crowd. And
yeah. And it's a shame because these two guys, they worked hard.
Started slow. It started really slow.
Yeah. Well, a match like this naturally starts slow and builds up, and that's just the booking of it. And that's, you know, acceptable when it's somebody like Stone Cold Steve Austin, or it's The Rock, or it's Triple H, or it's Shawn Michaels, or, you know, it's John Cena.
But at the same point, you shouldn't do the chin lock spot 3 minutes in.
That's a rest hold 3 minutes into a match is a little bit soon. I will give you that.
maybe they were doing
a call on the fly.
Something, but it seems to be early in all his matches, and it just sort of you got to get more energy before you slow it down. That's all.
Yeah.
Match turned out all right. Bobby made a good comeback. Some good near falls. We had a Superman punch for a two count. Bobby was on top rope. Superman punch. Roman's setting up for a spear, but it's countered into another spear by Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley gets the victory.
Now, how shocking is it that Bobby Lashley wins this match instead of Roman? Because the way that works, it kind of sort of sets up Bobby Lashley as the favorite for Brock to pick tomorrow night when he shows up on Raw, doesn't it?
If Brock shows up on Raw.
He's supposed to. Otherwise, he's stripped of his
title. No, he just has
to. We'll get into that.
He just has to agree to defend his title. He doesn't have to show up. He just has to agree.
Mm-hmm.
You can have Heyman agree to a match. You don't actually need Brock. Heyman's back as a writer, by the way. Imagine
Heyman's
that.
Writing? Heyman's writing?
Heyman's writing the Lashley stuff.
Oh, he's writing the Lashley stuff. Okay.
Imagine that. The Lashley stuff is turning out pretty decent. Last couple weeks. I wonder why.
Because they have somebody with a great mind putting the shit together. That's
who,
why.
Who knows how to book the Lashley stuff.
Yep.
I'm not surprised by Lashley winning because if he lost, there's no credibility in any of his claims.
Yeah.
He needed that victory over Roman Reigns.
And he came back to be the guy to face Brock. Sorry to pull the curtain back a little bit for people who didn't want to hear that.
Yeah, he wanted to face him, and that's the whole reason. He was promised a match, and maybe he'll get it. To me, it seems like it's going to be a three-way at SummerSlam.
Well, this is what I speculated with you, what was it, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago?
Something like that.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm just sitting here, watch it be a triple threat at SummerSlam. And that way you can take the title off Brock, let him go and play in the UFC playground. And then when he's done with that match and gets suspended again for steroid use, come back to WWE.
I miss playground. So Bobby Lashley gets the victory there. Anything else you want to add to this one, or can we move on?
This match? No, I'm done. What do you figure, Brett?
No, I mean, like Rock said, it did what it was supposed to. Bobby, you know, was able to pull out the win over Roman. Roman hasn't been able to get the win over Brock and now Lashley. So apparently if you're in MMA and you want to go for the title, just face Roman. You'll beat him. There was that spot where Roman just tossed him over the top rope on the hardest landing I saw.
The AA over the top rope.
Oh. Yeah. Where I love the slow-mo of that, too, where once he goes over the top, you see Lashley reaching for that top rope again and then ending up directly on his side. So that kidney might not be working so well tomorrow. We'll find out later. But, yeah, I honestly, listening to you guys, it's that kind of thing of if Roman had won that match and had essentially tried to set up the Lesnar-Roman, I don't know, what is it, 24 now?
23 and a half.
Okay.
23 and a half.
Yep. 23 and a half. Fans would have shit on it even more. So I think having Lashley win does give them hope of something different. If they do decide to go the triple threat route, that's one thing. But I'm wondering if they're going to go a different triple threat. And it's something I talked about last night of you have Bobby, you have Brock, and right before the match kicks off, Braun shows up instead.
You can do that. Just,
which I think if you had that, a lot more people would be interested in that because Braun's the kind of person, and he talked about it when he first won the briefcase. He doesn't want to cash in after someone's, you know, fought a match. He can prove that even at your best, I can come in, beat the hell out of you, and take your belt. And so I just think at SummerSlam, that would just be a good stage for that kind of thing to happen.
We'll see. Maybe. We'll see what they do. Yep. Raw Women's Championships on the line. Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey is ringside. You had Natalya with Nia, Mickey with Alexa. It was an Extreme Rules match, the first one of the night. And they had a fun brawl.
Not the best women's match of the year, but it was still entertaining.
They did everything to make it entertaining. I enjoyed this matchup. You had Natty involved, you had Mickey involved, and then Ronda had enough of Mickey beating on Natty, and Ronda just went super destruction mode and murdered
Rock,
Mickey
call
James.
It what it was. Ronda went Super Saiyan and just annihilated everything in her path.
She destroyed Mickey James.
For a second, I thought we were going to have an issue, though, when Ronda goes and grabs Mickey by the back of her shirt, which,
there's
to
not...
be fair... Not a lot there.
Nope. There wasn't much there.
And when she pulled it, all I could think was, oh, someone in the back, get ready to hit the button to go fade to black really quick, because otherwise, we may see Mickey James's. It was close for a second.
It was close for a second. Alexa was able to hit a DDT and retain her title. This served a purpose.
I was going to say, like we talked about with the other women's match, with the U.S. title, the story of this match wasn't the match itself.
No.
It was, when's Ronda gonna kill a bitch?
Not only that, it's also, okay, how are you guys setting up Ronda for versus Alexa at SummerSlam? Because that's what this was.
Yeah, and this was the next chapter in that setup, and that was everything you needed.
Nia was just filler. Sorry, Nia.
And they made point a couple of times during this match to reiterate the fact that Ronda can't be there tomorrow either. Her suspension isn't lifted until Wednesday.
Right.
So what's going to happen tomorrow to kind of keep it going? And also, are there any repercussions for Ronda jumping the barrier, being a ticket-holding fan, and assaulting personnel?
We'll have to see, but Alexa's going to be very cocky tomorrow because
it's
the final day she can get away with it.
Mickey will probably be there in, you know, some form of brace, tape, something.
Something.
She needs it.
And if she isn't taped up, you can expect a Natalya versus Mickey match.
Wouldn't it be half bad? All right, moving.
I would appreciate that, to tell you the truth. That would be a good match.
Give them time.
Let them.
We then get to the WWE Championship match. AJ Styles versus Rusev. This was very entertaining.
I enjoyed it.
Rusev shows why he should be fighting in that spot.
It's Rusev Day.
He sold his leg throughout the matchup, which was very well done. I love the spot where he's going for the accolade. He couldn't lock it on because of his leg.
That was a really nice touch. You've seen a lot of times in other matches where someone, you know, gets banged up on the leg and yet somehow pulls off the superplex or a super kick or something along those lines. But yeah, where he needs to brace himself and it just collapses under him. So, you know, one of his biggest weapons is now taken away. And it was just a nice touch, I think, in this match to show that.
Aiden English tried to get involved. He exposed the turnbuckle. Rusev got pushed into it. Caused for a 450 splash for a very long two count. That's what you can say about this matchup. Throughout, there are very long two counts. AJ kicked out of a few times on a long kick out. And it just built the matchup so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
AJ would hit the flying forearm for the victory. This was very enjoyable. This was entertaining. Rusev, AJ, I want to see them again.
Yeah, that said, is there anybody in the business today doing a better springboard 450 than AJ?
Probably.
That was a beautiful.
He hit it beautifully, but they're probably
wonderfully executed 450's frog splash.
I don't want to speak about cruiserweights because I don't watch 205 Live often, so I can't comment. But
who watches 205 Live?
There's an audience somewhere.
50 people.
Occasionally.
There are people who do.
They're all undersized independent circuit wrestlers.
Not mentioning any names, sorry.
I wasn't planning on it. I was just picking on 205 Live.
AJ Styles, still your WWE champion. My gut says Samoa Joe's next.
Oh yeah.
AJ versus Joe. Shut up and take my money.
Now think of that. AJ, Samoa Joe, main eventing SummerSlam. Two not WWE guys. Two TNA
they
guys.
They will not main event.
Okay.
SummerSlam.
Semi.
They'll be
semi
in a headlining match. Okay, better point. They'll be in a
they
headlining.
They will main event the first half of SummerSlam.
They'll be a headlining match on SummerSlam. Is that a better way to phrase it? Headlining match?
No, yeah. They'll main event the first half of the pay-per-view.
Which will be 17 hours long. No. Anyway.
17 hours and counting.
So at the 9.5 minute. Anyway. Everyone ready for the Royal Rumble? 30 minutes.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, yay!
Here comes Ty Dillinger.
The 30 minute Iron Man match, Royal Rumble style, Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins. Rollins got 3 falls early. Drew McIntyre caused the 3rd fall to happen, and he just beat down Seth Rollins.
Drew McIntyre should have been responsible for 2 pinfall victories in Seth's favor, not 1.
No. He should have had at least 2, if not 3 or 4, for as many beatdowns as he gave Seth in that moment.
Yeah.
I like the 1 DQ, and then the ref was just kind of handcuffed of like, please get out of the ring? That was one of those moments in this match where I know the L word is really hard to say with this. Rock, I'm taking your thing here for a moment. It's really hard for me to suspend my disbelief that long and not use logic when, in all counts, a DQ and a countout counts as 1 fall, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Drew McIntyre spends about 3 minutes beating the holy hell out of Seth, including hitting the Claymore after he's kind of like backed off and said, I'm not going to do anything, and being ejected, hits the Claymore, and yet there's only 1 DQ thrown in there. Now, I understand that it's so you don't have 14 falls in one match. We got close with this one, but just the 1 DQ and like, all right, that's good enough, just really seemed lacking.
So, Ziggler was able to then get 3 straight falls. The crowd was chanting as Tim did the countdown throughout the matchup. They were doing it pretty well, like on the minute. They were counting it down, right?
They were pretty bang on.
Until about 15 minutes.
And then WWE turned off the clock in the arena. That's when it got a little funky on their countdowns, and they just started counting all the time.
Whenever they felt like it.
Because WWE turned off the clock.
Yep. Not on the TV. So if you were watching, you still saw the countdown clock. But if you were in the arena, no.
They killed it. SOL. They killed it for a while. So Ziggler was up 4-3. Rollins got a fall 3 minutes to go. Tied up. He hits the stomp. 1-2. Time's up.
And I didn't even get 1-2. He barely got the one count.
Barely got the one count.
And what did I say? Okay, I'm going to predict it's going to be tied, and there's going to be a pinfall attempt. 2 seconds left, time runs out.
Pretty much that's what happened.
That was my prediction. Then I predicted, okay, and then we're going to get overtime.
Well, we all knew we were getting overtime. We did not
expect... the pay-per-view was like... the match was over at like 30 minutes after the hour. Mm-hmm.
But we didn't expect it to be that quick. Kurt Angle comes out, restarts the match. Drew McIntyre with distraction. Zigzag, 1-2-3, Ziggler retains.
And, the finish left a really bad taste in my mouth. And it spoiled the match for me. The match itself, fantastic. Off the hook, great. Even the interference by Drew until he got ejected, it fit the entire thing, and these guys were putting on a hell of a match for the fans, and they were working their ass off, and then this screwed up bullshit shows up, like literally right after the bell rings, and it's just too quick, too soon. Okay, if you're gonna have Drew come out, let these guys go another 5 minutes. Just give them another 5 goddamn minutes.
Yeah, it felt like if this was going to be your main event, if this was going to be the finish of your pay-per-view, it's very anticlimactic to have it that way.
Yep. It was just way too goddamn quick. I mean, for the Bret Shawn Michaels Iron Man match, at least they gave him 5 minutes before Shawn got the win.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, just let them do, hell, just a little bit of chain at the end, do, you know, exchanging finishers or counter, then Drew shows up, hit the finish out of nowhere, and 1-2-3. But at least with that, you would still get a little bit of excitement. With this, it was ring the bell, Drew runs out, Seth distracted, zigzag, 1-2-3, and I think everyone kind of went, wait, what? At the very end. Like, you were waiting for something else to happen. Kurt to come out again and go, oh, hey, Drew interfered, we're going to make, you know, we're going to start this again.
Yeah.
The credits came up, and we all knew, oh, never mind.
So there you go.
Such a crying shame. Was this pay-per-view better than last month? No.
No.
Actually, it wasn't.
Last month, you had two really good ladder matches.
Oh, shit.
For Money in the Bank. Last month was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was an average pay-per-view.
Let's face it, Extreme Rules could be so much more. I mean, we got teased with One Night Stand way back in 2005, and it's been inferior ever since, every single year.
Well, that wasn't Extreme Rules. That was ECW.
But still, Extreme Rules was the genesis was One Night Stand. Come on.
I'm just clarifying.
Yeah. All right. Yes. One Night Stand was an ECW, air quotes, ECW pay-per-view original. But Extreme Rules arose as a result of it, and it's been so inferior ever since. And it could be so much more. But Extreme Rules is nothing more than filler between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam.
Well, that's what I was going to just touch on. This is the, what is it? Not the Elimination Chamber. What's the one right between Elimination Chamber and Mania?
Fastlane.
This is the Fastlane of the summer. Everything's gearing up.
Go ahead. No, I'll wait. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is gearing up to SummerSlam. You have your big matches that you're planning for that. You have everything working up to that point. and you realize you have this pay-per-view a couple of weeks out and go, well, we've got to put some stuff here, and you can advance some storylines to get them where they need to be, but yeah. I don't think you're going to have anything that turns things on its head a month before your second biggest show of the year.
But here it is. There's no reason why you can't have a couple of things turn on their head with this pay-per-view. You want to call it Extreme Rules? Make it Extreme Rules. Go back to ECW-style pay-per-view.
Or just come up with a different name for a pay-per-view. Great Balls of Fire would have worked.
It would have worked for Shinsuke versus Jeff.
There you go. Why don't you just call it Bash at the Beach?
Now here's an odd thing, and because I still have the network on, and it just shows you how important this pay-per-view was. Yeah. After every pay-per-view, the replay happens. The official replay of this show does not start until 1:30 a.m.
11:30 Mountain Standard Time for those of you living out west. Like
they're re-airing the first time they're re-airing the pre-show, and then they're going to air the pay-per-view. According to the schedule, it's like, I kept waiting and waiting for this, the replay of the show, because usually when we're doing these post-shows,
the replay starts, like, literally 10 minutes after we do.
Yeah, and it hasn't shown up.
Weird. Very strange.
Anyway, Brent, you have the results of Pick'em? I mean, you put together the sheet. I might as well throw it to you for that one.
I did. Hang on, give me just 1 second. Pulling up the spreadsheet.
Somebody did really bad.
Okay, here we go. All right, so we had 16 competitors.
Start from the bottom.
Yep, from the bottom in 16th place, Sheila, 1-10.
Hold on. Go ahead, Tim. Make the comment. Make a comment.
What comment? What do you expect me to make?
I don't know. I figured you would comment about her doing bad.
Why would I comment on Sheila going 1-10 other than the fact that she sucks? And I'm just going to leave it at that and let you interpret it the way you want. Sheila, you suck! I'm going to hear about that. Sheila lives in Calgary.
Just above her in 15th is Tim!
I'm not much better.
What was Tim?
3-6.
How bad was Tim? I got beat by the Random Thing Picker, okay?
Random Thing Picker is in 14th at 4-5. Tim, you were also beaten by the 8-Ball at 4-7 and Rob at 4-7, who had two picks, mind you, that were You Know What I Meant Owens and Eric Harper and Rowan. Yes, let that sink in, Tim. You lost to someone with
Frank, those two. Move on. Let it go. Just let it the fuck go.
In 10th, we have our typical co-host of this show, Heartbreak Mike and Omega, both at 5-4. In 7th place, Chris P., Kyle Morey, and Michael all got 5-6. In 6th place, we have Tommy at 6-4. In 5th place is Lindsay, 6-5. In 3rd place, oh dear God, Rock and Sub tied at 7-4.
Okay, anytime that Subway beats me, it is either I've got to drink less or a fuck of a lot more.
Tim, he didn't just beat you. He had a 7-4 and you had a 3-6.
Yes, I know. Move it the fuck on. Let it go.
Number 2 was Alex Miller, listener at 8-3. And number 1, who has had a remarkable run in picks so far, Lone Jobber at 9-2.
Host of Eastern Wrestling Analysis only on Twitter at Lone Jobber.
Way to be Jobber.
Yeah. So there you go.
Oh my God. Yeah, and so that's the that's the program for tonight, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in to listen to yours truly, The Rock, and of course the substitute teacher. Tomorrow night, don't forget, it's another post-Raw.
Raw Post 11:10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw as we head to SummerSlam.
Only 5 weeks away, kids, so get ready. throughout the week, Fortnite, Twitch.tv/RackRadioShow, or just on the Twitch player here?
Twitch.tv/WTR Live.
Okay, there you go. You moved it over, and it's on that one. Yeah, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show returns with your host, Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, we'll have Extreme Rules review, the SmackDown Throwdown, the NXT Rundown, and so much more. It's Rock every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rock Extra Reviews, Total Bella Season 3, Episode 7, available now. Episode 8 will be available on Wednesday. It's Rock Radio Show on Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Googles, the iTunes, the Stitchers, all that fun stuff. Make sure you follow Lindsay on Twitter, twitter.com/LindsayWard, LNSWARD, which you can check out her Behance, behance.net/LindsayWard, same as her Twitter.
Yeah, and of course, Saturday night's Midnight Ish, or as close as I can get to another edition of The Wild, The Wacky, The Unusual, The Wish They Were Canadian Because Canada Is Legalizing Marijuana, CB Radio.
Last night we did Amusement Park Rides. This week we're doing...
Inventions.
Thank you. Someone, at least someone knows, remembers.
There you go.
CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter. CBRadioLive.com, hashtag Blame Rob When a Celebrity Dies.
And, of course, next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. If there's anything to talk about, then you'll be able to hear us talk about it right here on WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. If there's nothing to talk about, nothing, if no shit happens, then, you know, we take the night off and go watch a movie. No big deal. Well, why talk about nothing when there's nothing to talk about?
We got to talk later. Anyway, keep going.
We'll talk later. As far as following everybody and everything on the social media, at WTR Sunday Night on Twitter, facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. At Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machine, at WTR Sunday Night on Twitter. I think I already said that. You can follow me on Twitter. My safe Twitter is at Flames Forums. My uncensored account, where I pull no punches and I'll tweet stuff that could be at times considered very controversial, very political, very not PG, we're talking about R-rated, at Voice Insanity.
Follow Omega on Twitter, at TJ Omega, at DWTRIO for Mike, at King Kins for the intern, filling in for the evening. Make sure you check out Omega's Twitter and his YouTube channel, even though it's on hiatus, you can check it out there. Go buy his eBay stuff, it's on, linked on his Twitter as well.
Yeah, Mike's got a Twitter. You can follow him at the WTR Oreo.
I said that.
Oh, okay. Rock's got a Twitter. You can follow him. King Kittens has a Twitter.
I did that already.
And let's see.
Say goodnight, Tim.
James Woods has a Twitter.
This has been WTR Sunday Night Live right here on Wild Talk Radio. We'll see you next week. Possibly, maybe. I don't know, but all week long.
Good night, airways. Everybody. Have yourselves a great week.
Along the airways on Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.